All right, it is November 14, 2006. Time is currently 2056 hours. Detective Scott Peterson, identification number 2238. I'm speaking with Nicholas, firefighter paramedic assigned to station 31 for the Ventura County Fire Department. Nick, were you working this evening at station 31 as a firefighter paramedic?
Yes.
And did you have the occasion to respond to a gunshot victim at Where were you and the other person, were you assigned to the engine or the squad?
Squad.
Driver or passenger?
Driver.
And who else was assigned to the squad with you tonight?
Jeff. Firefighter Jeff.
He's also a paramedic?
Correct.
Was there any other personnel on the squad with you?
We had a cadet. Cadet David.
Good enough. Where were you and the other personnel from Station 31 when you received this call?
We were on the 101 freeway on a traffic collision.
Okay. Where on the 101?
Northbound, just south of Hampshire.
Okay. Approximately what time did you guys receive this call?
Right around 6 o'clock, approximately.
Okay. And when you received this call, do you remember the information that was broadcast to you guys by your...
The coroner's here.
Tell him I'll be out there in just a minute, bud. Do you remember the information that was broadcast to you by your dispatcher in regards to the call?
We're on another channel. They said, are you available for another call in your sector? We said yes. And then we went to channel 1, and then we were dispatched to a gunshot victim in 31 sector off Los Feliz. Initially, engine 31 canceled because medic engine 34 was closer. All three of the units, 31, 34, and squad 31, got on scene staged at Caneo School and Los Feliz.
How long do you think it took from the time you, the other firefighter, paramedic, and the cadet got in the squad from the freeway to the arrival at the scene?
We were on our way back, so 10 seconds.
Okay. And do you have an approximate time that you guys arrived at the scene?
I called dispatch and it showed that we staged at 18, or we were cleared to enter at 18, 16, or 17.
Okay. Now, when you were driving again, correct? Where did you... let me go back for a moment. The scene where this gunshot victim was located, is it a residential area, an apartment complex, a park, community center?
Apartment complex.
Apartment complex. When you got on scene, where did you park the squad?
We pulled in between two police cruisers right before the Do Not Cross tape.
Okay, the crime scene tape?
Correct.
Okay. When you arrived, what were your actions upon arrival?
Officer met us. I asked him if he was alive.
Uniformed officer?
Correct. He kind of came towards us, asked if he was alive. He said yes. I then went around to our equipment compartment and got our medical stuff out.
Okay.
And then we went under the Do Not Cross tape and approached the patient where Officer Mike Berg was kind of attending to him.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there real quick. When you first saw the patient, how was the position of his body? What position was he?
Supine, so laying with face up.
Okay.
His head was towards the squad and all the Do Not Cross tape, and his feet were towards, looked like a gray truck.
How was he dressed?
He had... I believe a white shirt on. And
what kind of shirt do you remember?
Looked like a t-shirt.
Okay. And what? And you said jeans. What color jeans?
Black jeans.
And you remember his footwear or anything?
Yeah, he had Converse, black Converse on.
Okay. When you first saw the victim, did you notice any blood on him?
He said it was coming right out of his right chest area.
Right chest area. Okay. You started to tell me that Senior Deputy Berg began to provide you some information. What information was that?
Pretty much that he still had a pulse and he was breathing. I saw that the emergency kit you guys carry was open. It looked like the mouth, the mask was on the ground. And he was beginning to do some kind of care before we got there.
Mike Berg was?
Correct.
Okay. What did you do after you spoke to the deputy?
We started delegating stuff. Actually, we were on scene probably 20, 30 seconds before the engine. So Mike said, how can I help you guys? We gave him a pair of trauma shears, had him cut the shirt off. My partner was listening to lung sounds and getting him patched up on the monitor, and I went in to control the airway since he was apneic or going apneic.
Okay. What happened next?
Patient was agonal.
What's agonal mean?
Means his breaths were like anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes.
Okay.
Heard the engine pulling up, so I kind of yelled at them, I need a backboard, I need you to help me. So he can bag, the firefighter words would be able to bag him, and I can get my innovation equipment set up.
Bag him means using the, providing oxygen, an oxygen flow through his mouth.
Correct.
Okay.
So I went ahead and, gave the patient or inserted an OP airway, which is an oral pharyngeal airway, just to kind of keep the tongue from falling into the back of the throat. He had no gag reflex, so I went ahead and prepared my intubation equipment. At the same time, I'm kind of telling, because I'm training Jeff Gold, so I'm kind of telling him, get him on the monitor, let's get his clothes cut off. And I'm kind of yelling at the other guys to strip a line down, just kind of getting stuff going. We got my innovation equipment ready, and before they even get the bag put together and attached to the auction, I had them innovated, the tube was placed, and then we attached the BVM, which is...
What do you mean the tube was placed?
The endotracheal tube was put in his trachea, okay, so we can control that airway. And then the BVM was attached to the endotracheal tube, and we started bagging them. So assist pretty much breathing for the patient.
What does BVM stand for?
Bag valve mask.
Okay. After you get all this done, what happens next?
Do all our confirmations, so we listen to lung sounds, secure the tube in place, put a C-collar on it because it's all our protocol for airway.
C-collar in his neck?
Correct. For airway management, we have to put a C-collar, listen to lung sounds, attach a capnography, which reads that end-tidal CO2 to the monitor. And once that stuff was all done, I stood up, kind of made sure everything was going good. The ambulance had got on scene that time, so they were assisting. One of the medics started an IV on the other side. My partner...
Other side, what side is that?
The left side. She went to the left side to start the IV. My partner's looking for an IV on the right side. I kind of stood up and said, we need to get those pants cut off, and then I said, I'm going to go to the squad to get the phone so I can make base contact real quick to let them know that we're going to be bringing a trauma in.
Base contact is here to Los Robles Hospital via phone.
Correct.
Okay. Who cut the pants off?
I did.
Okay.
So I went to the squad, grabbed the phone. As I got back, I saw the pants weren't cut off yet, so I handed the phone to the captain, and I grabbed a pair of shears, and I think I crossed over the patient, and I began cutting the pants and ripping them off.
Now, where did you start the cut, and where did you
start? I started on the right leg, and I ripped the leg all the way up.
Now, when you say you ripped the leg all the way up, did you start from the bottom of the cuff of the pants and go up the pant all the way to
correct,
his waist
so I can
area?
See his underwear.
Okay. And you did the right leg first?
Correct.
Okay.
And then I went to the left leg, ripped it all the way up, saw the underwear, and then I actually didn't really see any kind of gun at that time because I was kind of looking at his pants and looking for blood. It was kind of camouflaged. The gun was camouflaged with his pants. I then put the shears back in the thing, and at the same time, we both looked down, and there's a gun right there.
You say we both looked down. Where did you, when you first saw the gun, where was the gun at?
Looked like it was right near his, so hold on, let me think. I'm getting backwards here. So the first leg I cut off was actually the left leg, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Second leg was the right leg, and the gun was leaning next to his crotch and the right thigh.
So it was between his legs.
Correct.
And it was closer to his right thigh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like the way the pants were split down, it was kind of like a seam, so just think of like a line going all the way down. Mm-hmm. So here's the seam, and here's the gun laying.
Was the barrel pointed down towards his feet?
Correct.
Okay.
And the handle was towards his groin.
Okay. Could you describe the gun, what you saw at that time?
Like a black, I don't know about guns, so a black handgun.
I'm going to show you my weapon real quick in my holster. This is called a semi-automatic. Did it look like this?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Now, when you saw the gun, was it in firing position like mine is, or was the slide back?
I couldn't tell you.
No problem. After you see the gun, what do you do?
I immediately say, hey, Mike, we found that there's a gun on this guy.
To Bird. To Senior Deputy Bird? Okay. And what did Bird do?
At that time, he said, okay, don't touch it, don't move it. And he's trying to put gloves on so he could, I guess, safely move it away from us.
Okay.
So in that process, I guess, it looked like Jeff pushed it away, down a little bit towards his leg, lower towards his foot, just because I think he was a little nervous about it being right there. And we're trying to, at that same time, get the patient onto the backboard.
Okay. So were you able to successfully get him on the backboard and then onto the gurney?
Correct.
Okay. And what happened after he was placed on the gurney and the backboard? Was he loaded into the ambulance?
Yeah, we slid him onto the backboard, secured him down. We actually disconnected the monitor and the end-tidal CO2 so it wouldn't be a bunch of spaghetti walking to the ambulance. And then I actually walked to the ambulance to get everything prepped. I left before everybody else, and then they came to me probably 20 seconds after.
Okay. Did you respond with the ambulance to the hospital?
Yeah, me and Jeff followed up in the back.
Okay, so you're in the back with Heather medic. Now, the ambulance, did it respond to Los Robles Hospital code 3 or regular driver?
Code 3.
Code 3. Did at the scene, did the victim ever regain consciousness?
No.
Did he ever say anything at the scene?
No.
Did he regain consciousness in the ambulance at all?
No.
Say anything in the ambulance?
No.
At any time during the trip to the hospital, did the gunshot victim expire, meaning went into cardiac arrest or flatline without a pulse or a heart rate?
The patient had a pulse and blood pressure their entire time we were with him, and he was agno or respiratory arrest. So the only thing that wasn't working was his breathing.
At the scene, you had told me earlier he had blood over the area of his right shoulder. Once his shirt was removed, did you see a wound?
Yes.
And where was that at?
Right above his right clavicle.
Right above his right clavicle, okay. Did you see any other wounds on his body?
No, we rolled him over. Actually, yeah, we rolled him over, checked his back, it was negative, and then we saw it look like
his. Did you roll him to his left side or his right side?
We rolled him to his right side.
Okay.
And then Heather his back like we always do before we put him on the backboard. And then at that time when we rolled him, we noticed that his left thumb was missing a piece, like it had been possibly shot by a gun.
What kind of wound was it? Abrasion, laceration, avulsion?
I'd say the tip of it was amputated pretty much.
Okay. I take it once you arrived at the hospital, the medical personnel here at the hospital took over treatment?
Correct.
And what room was he placed into in the ER?
Trauma 2 is what it would be.
Trauma 2?
I think it's 2. If you walk into the ER, it's the second door on the left. I think it's trauma 2. I'm not sure about the door, sorry.
No problem.
6?
There. Room 6, okay. At any... is there anything I haven't asked you or that you remember that you feel I should know about this?
I did place an occlusive dressing, which is a petroleum dressing, over the wound before I did leave the patient to go to the back of the ambulance.
So to prepare the ambulance?
That's just something we normally do. If there's any kind of chest, we'll put an occlusive dressing over it.
Occlusive?
Yeah, occlusive, which is just a petroleum 4x4.
Okay. Anything else? All right.